Good evening. It is just 6 p.m. 6:01 p.m. here on it's a little bit after the top of the hour here on you're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM radio. My name is Ben. This is the program where we are at. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. Let's get some house cleaning or public service announcements here. If you have an old car, truck, motorcycle, or boat that you would like to get rid of, you can donate any old vehicle to Charitable Adult Rights and Services. Designate WEFT to receive the proceeds from your gift. All you need is a clear title. Charitable Adult Rights and Services will pick it up and haul it away with no charge to you. You can make arrangements on the website at careasy.com or call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-7433. Remember to tell them that you want WEFT to receive the proceeds. And as always, there are events, music venues, bands, shows happening at the Rose Bowl Tavern. You can go to www.rosebowltavern.com to look at their calendar and see what's happening, what's playing at the Rose Bowl in Urbana. And please check us here at WFT on our app. If you go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, you can check us out and listen to us on there as well and leave any feedback. We appreciate that. You know, as here at WFT, we've been a volunteer run, you know, we're all volunteer run stations, so we also rely on donations from our listeners, supporters, to keep us going. If you would like to make a payment or show your financial support, you can go to www.weft.org and click on that blue donate button. That would probably be the more simpler, easiest way to set up a financial donation to us. And as always, we always appreciate our supporters and listeners. As WFT, I believe it has been going since 1981, I believe. You might have to check on that, but I'm pretty sure. So we've been going on for well over 40 years here at WFT Champaign. Just as I have noted last week, the Champaign County AFSCME files looks like they voted to go on strike on a motion on June 30th, and according to this story by WCIA from Jared Thomas, posted on WCIA's website on July 3rd, so 4 days ago. Some Champaign County employees could be striking as soon as Tuesday, so that would be tomorrow, after contract negotiations with the administration failed to reach a middle ground. AFSCME filed an intent to strike as more than 90% were in favor of the motion on June 30th, which means a potential strike could happen as soon as Tuesday, which would be tomorrow. The union president said that they decided to go through the filing because they feel like the administration is taking them as a joke. In the beginning of May, employees first addressed the issue with a rally in front of the courthouse. The workers are asking for fair wages and affordable health care. The union president said since May, they've had more negotiating meetings, but the problem is that the workers and administration still can't find a middle ground. Quote, "We really don't want to have to do this," said AFSCME Local 900 president Cecilia Phillips. She went on to say, quote, "It is in management's court to not make a strike happen. But we will stand firm, and we will stand strong, and we will stand united for affordable health care and livable wages, end quote. Phil said if they go on strike, they aren't sure how long it will last. The next the next negotiating meeting was Monday. This was published the 3rd, so that would the negotiating meeting would have been today. And it doesn't seem like there's been any updates as of yet, not according to what I've seen here on WCIA. So I'll check the News Gazette, but I don't believe there's been any updates on the AFSCME 900 situation, it does look like. So unless there's anything between now and the next tonight or early tomorrow morning, it does look like the AFSCME 900 is it looks like the AFSCME workers will go on strike. AFSCME Local 900, that is. Unless there's been any changes between now and this is the time of this, which was the 3rd. So I wanted to play a little bit. I played this audio last week, so I wanted to play some of it. I'm not going to play all of it because I didn't want to. But from the rally, this from the AFSCME rally, well, probably a few weeks ago. But I just wanted to play that again to kind of give more details about what the AFSCME workers are asking for.
Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
Union power.
Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
Union power.
Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
Union power.
Next up, we have supporter, president of AFSCME Local 981 at Eastern Illinois University and a member of the AFSCME Council 31 Executive Board, Kim Poof.
Neighbors, we are human beings and we deserve to be treated with respect and and not like line items on a budget.
Amen.
Yeah.
The AFSCME workers of Champaign County do real work. They do the work that is crucial to the functioning and safety of this community. They show up every day doing the real work. The many areas of this county run into, and for management to push them to the brink of a strike is not just shameful, it's disrespectful, and it's downright dangerous. It puts this entire community at risk, and I hope the community understands that what you're asking for is not unreasonable. You're asking for basic fairness, a livable wage, affordable and decent health care, and to be treated with dignity and respect on the job. Last week, I was in town for a council meeting, and our executive director, Roberta Lynch, said something that stuck with me. She said, "We are a fighting union. AFSCME is a fighting union, and we do not back down from a fight."
That's right.
So my brothers, sisters, and siblings of Champaign County, I want you to remember that. When you're reporting to work and coming to the bargaining table, remember that you are a fighting union, that you do not back down, and that you are not alone in this fight. Because we are your AFSCME family. We stand with you, we believe in you, and we are in this fight with you. And when we fight,
we win!
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 Okay, let's try a few more. Everywhere we go,
everywhere we go,
people want to know,
people want to know
who we are,
who we are.
So we tell them,
so we tell them,
we are the union,
we are the union,
the mighty, mighty union,
the mighty, mighty union,
the mighty, mighty union,
the mighty, mighty union.
Us today, Tracy Abman,
yes.
Associate Director of AFSCME Council 31, has been on many, 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 many picket lines, and is here for the special mention.
Hey, Tracy!
What do we want?
Contract!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Contract!
In Illinois, and I bring the support and solidarity of 100,000 active and retired members, some of whom are here today standing with you.
Yes.
Right? To the Champaign County workers who are here, I want you to know that when you join AFSCME, you join a big family, as
yes,
Tim said. And we have your back when times get tough.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we do.
In fact, you know, as I said, we've got AFSCME members here representing the corner of the state. We cheer you on when you win, and we are here when you need us. And frankly, all of us are inspired by the courage that you're showing by the strike vote that you've taken already. Am I right?
Yeah!
You are making your own history right now here in Champaign County, and it is a privilege and an honor. That's a whole lot of fun for me to be here in support of this righteous fight. And I want to thank the workers for all the work that you do. As was said already, Champaign County could not function without your work. You work in almost every county department. You pave and repair the roads. You care for abandoned animals, right? You ensure justice is done at the courthouse. You keep our community safe at the county jail, and so much more. Here's what's up, though. Too often your work is unrecognized, unappreciated. You're overworked and underpaid.
Yeah. All right?
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay. And it's time
for your work to be recognized. It's time for you and your coworkers to be a priority. It is time, it's 170 days past time, right,
yeah,
for this county board to act and do the right thing.
Right.
You know, your struggle is a struggle for dignity, for fairness, and for respect. And that is a righteous fight. It really says something about an employer who refuses to provide rabies vaccine to folks who are taking care of the animals. Right, I mean, really, seriously? What's up with that?
That is crazy.
It says something about an employer who knows that they don't pay a living wage to their employees, who demand service and loyalty and excellence, and yet refuse to ensure those same workers can provide for themselves and their families. That's wrong! It's outrageous that people who serve this community day in and day out should have to take a son, a second and third job just to keep a roof over their family's heads. That just ain't right. But there is still time for management to do the right thing. There is still time for them to make you a priority. There is still time for the Champaign County Board to ensure that your health insurance costs are affordable, that your out-of-pocket costs don't skyrocket, and so that you can provide prescriptions that you and your families need. Talk is cheap. We need action, right? We've got county board members who say that they're pro-union, right? They say they care about your work, right? So we say enough talk. Time for action.
Yeah.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want?
Contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
We say show us the respect and dignity that you claim to have for us. Come to the bargaining table and make a fair offer. For years, our members have shown up and provided first-class services to the residents of Champaign County. Now it's time for the Champaign County Board and management to show up for you.
Yeah.
Now, hello to the Champaign County workers. I know these are challenging times, but a 96% strike vote? Whoa!
Woo.
That is unity, right? That is determination. And we will stand with you as you stand up for what is right. You know, I know that together as your union, with the backing of your AFSCME family, that you will prevail. So let's say it together. Say, I believe that we will win.
That we will win.
I believe
that we will win.
That we will win. I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
We're going to stand up. We're going to keep fighting till we get what's fair, and you will win. Thank you.
And I'll keep you all up to date on what, if, you know, assuming the strike does happen, which as of right now, unless, as I keep saying, it doesn't look like there's been any agreement on a contract between the Champaign County and the AFSCME workers. So, but I'll keep you all up to date and see what happens. Next week, hopefully. Yeah. Let's see. Speaking of Champaign County, we'll see with there. Now, this may depend on what happens with Champaign County, but RPC, there is power bill assistance to Champaign County households who are at risk from summer heat. Given that, you know, it's summer, temperatures have been high. I don't know what the weather is going to be like this week. I'll do a quick check on the weather. It's not too... It looks like it's going to be in mostly 80s. And I don't think it will... Doesn't look like we'll have any, you know, any temperatures breaking. Then at least for this... Maybe Friday. It might get up to 90 on this Friday on the 11th. But... It, you know, still pretty hot, you know, mid 86, upper 80s. So if there is the summer cooling program, which if you want to find out if you qualify for that, you or your family or qualify for that, that information is available at the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission It's website ccrpc.org. Again, that's the Champaign region, the summer cooling program. If you go to the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission's website, ccrpc.org, and go to click on divisions and then community services, you will find the summer cooling program. There's also a number of other programs and services at Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website. There's developmental disabilities resources, homeless prevention, rent assistance, homeless services, HUD counseling services, low income home energy assistance, also known as LIHEAP, senior services, transportation assistance, youth assessment centers, and a number of other information services and programs. Can be found again, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website, at ccrpc.org. I'm going to play now, a pre-recorded news program that we have access to here at WFT. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates.
Support for this show, Politics Done Right, comes from politicsdoneright.com, publishers of How to Make America Utopia, Take Away the Economy from Those Who Rigged It. As I See It, Class Warfare, the Only Resort to Right-Wing Doom. It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors, and other books written by Egberto Willis. Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas. Good morning to the entire United States of America. Good morning to the entire world. We are here today in interesting terms. But beforehand, folks, we want to go ahead and give our most sincere condolences to all of those who lost their lives in Central Texas, in the Hill Country, from the floods. Something that should not have happened. Something that should give us a warning and much more. But before we get busy, folks, let's go to the great folks in the studio. Senor Howard Reynolds, Jack Van Viver, and Mayanna, good morning.
Where are you, Howard? Where are you?
Good morning.
Buenos dias, my guys. We have a lot to talk about. The flood in Texas right now is just the beginning. Yes. But anyway, what's up, guys? What kind of wisdom can I get from our wonderful folks out there in the studio?
Okay, well, Texans die needlessly as Trump austerity measures start the death toll rising, as cuts to the San Angelo and San Antonio National Weather Service lacked their key hydrologists and the coordinating staff after a early retirement offer was given by Trump, imposed by Trump, more or less. So they lost their people that are the ones in the know of these kind of events that can tell that it's going to be a bad day. Anyway, they didn't have that staff. And Kirk County chief official admitted he refused to fund a modern flood alert system. This is a public policy failure, as Trump policies are to weaken, underfund, and understaff public safety. So Texans and Americans, when it comes to your safety, don't depend on the government right now. They're not there for you anymore. And this is going to happen more and more. It's called austerity. It's called austerity.
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to happen over and over again. If we don't start to, dot the I's and cross the T's of what's going on. And that's what I hope to partially do today. But, you know, anyway, Jack, let me go ahead and get started here. Thank you, brother. Look, folks,
people say, it's too early to start coming down on getting political with this stuff. Everything in this world is political. Everything that's been done to you is political. Politics is absolutely everything. Those people that don't want you to be political, in effect, are saying, just be quiet and let what's being done to you be done to you. That's what it's all about. This is political. Very, very political. And the type of political has cost many of our fellow Texans their lives. An entire family out here in Kingwood, a teacher at the Kingwood Parks High, has been already found dead. And his family, they're still trying to find them. This is real. This is absolutely real. And not talking about it and not assigning blame where it belongs so that it doesn't happen again would be a dereliction of duty of anybody who has a platform and who's doing the research on this issue. So, folks, that's what we're going to talk about. Last night, I did a piece on my program that I have for my subscribers on the weekend. And what I want to do is I want to play that piece, and then we'll continue with the program. So let me go ahead and get that piece played, and then we'll continue with the program. Let's go ahead and get started with the Texas flood. It is not too early to ascertain blame. In fact, it is important. So far, we have lost over 75 innocent Texans. Over 75 innocent Texans. I don't think we had that type of loss in many hurricanes that we've had here in Texas. I want to give my most sincere condolences to all the families that have suffered, that have died. My heart goes out to you. But more importantly, I am sorry that collectively we failed each other, because none of this should have happened. None of this needed to happen. All of this was foretold in blogs that I've written and blogs that others have written. When you have incompetence, fallacies, and misinformation that is the ruling, the current ruling class in states like Texas and a federal government that we have now, this is the result. When you don't have a science basis on which you write policy, on which you hire, on which you employ, this is the result. It's not a game. Our president can go out there and talk BS and lie till kingdom come. When nature calls, this is what we get. You have no control over it. All you have is the ability to be an adult, a person with a science mind to take advantage of it. Now, after this event started to occur, and remember, this event is not over. It is raining again in Central Texas, okay? It is raining again in Central Texas. Now, here was the response from our officials here in Texas. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll continue with it.
The original forecast that we received on Wednesday from the National Weather Service predicted 3 to 6 inches of rain in the Concho Valley and 4 to 8 inches of rain in the Hill Country. We worked with our own meteorologists to fine-tune that weather statement, and as many of you know, and many of you in broadcast journalism and meteorology, you can go back and look at your own forecast, and the amount of rain that fell in this specific location was never in any of those forecasts.
This rain event sat on top of that and dumped more rain than what was forecasted on both of those forks. When we got the report, it was about 7 feet or so on the South Fork, and within a matter of minutes, it was up to 29 feet, and all of that converged at the Guadalupe, and that's where we saw those very quick rise and flood.
But listen, everybody got the forecast from the National Weather Service, right? You all got it. You're all in media. You got that forecast. It did not predict the amount of rain that we saw.
That is what's called cover your you-know-what. That is what's called that. Even as this event was occurring, where were all the warnings? And you know what? I am not a meteorologist, but you know, we saw the maps. We saw the big clouds over Central Texas. This is an area. And by the way, I camped out there. I camped in Kerrville. I camped in New Braunfelsville. New Braunfelsville got saved this time from Canyon Lake, but not up there in Kerr, which is northwest of Canyon Lake. Now, this was a dereliction of duty locally as well as nationally. Here is what was reported in the New York Times, and the New York Times was not as severe as it should have said. It said, crucial positions at the local offices of the National Weather Services were unfilled as severe rainfall inundated parts of Central Texas on Friday morning, prompting some experts to question whether staffing shortages made it harder for forecasting agency to coordinate with local emergency managers. And down below it says, the shortages are among the factors likely to be scrutinized as the death toll climbs from the flood. Separate questions have emerged about the preparedness of local communities, including Kerr County's apparent lack of local flood warning systems. The county, roughly 50 miles northwest of San Antonio, is where many of the deaths occur. But more importantly, I want you to listen to this part from the county judge. In Texas, the way it operates is every county has the most important politician, the leader. It's called a county judge. And the county judge is in charge of leading a group that allocates resources like for your streets, for your display of alarms, all that kind of stuff the county judge does. Here's what this guy, the county judge of Kerr County, said. It said, in an interview, Rob Kelly, the Kerr County judge and its most senior elected officials, said that the county did not have a warning system because such systems are expensive and local residents are resistant to new spending. Taxpayers won't pay for it, Mr. Kelly said. Ask if people might reconsider in light of the catastrophe. He said, I don't know. Let's be clear here. If you have leadership is able to convince a population that this will save their lives. And not only that, when he comes out and he says, it's too expensive for people, that's an ideological answer. Is it too expensive to have a bridge over a river so that we don't have to move by boat? No. So the county builds a bridge. Is it too expensive to have a water treatment plant and not just pump dirty water to people? No, because the county realizes the people have to have it. And that is something that has to be, if you live in the most dangerous, and by the way, the Guadalupe Valley is one of the most dangerous flash flood valleys in the country. I remember camping out on the Guadalupe River a couple of weeks before a major flood. And there were bats, bat tubs and sheets up into the trees, several dozen feet above the ground. This is not uncommon for here, but when you have missing people in your weather office that can't give you the right things because of what Doge and Donald Trump did in the weather service. And locally here in San Antonio, the person who is in charge of these diagnoses, there was nobody there. Nadie. Nobody there to tell these officials, hey, guess what? There's a lot of rain. And these officials, knowing that there's nobody there because of what their Führer has done, Donald Trump has done, they didn't take precautions to save these people's lives. This is something that did not have to happen, and heads should roll. We always know there's incompetence out here in Texas. You know, we have a governor that is putting a whole lot of troops on the border, but where we should have people taking care of people, we don't. Now, as it turns out, it says the National Weather Service San Angelo office, which is responsible for some of the areas hit hardest by Friday's flooding, was missing a senior hydrologist, which means there's nobody there to tell what the path of the water is going to be, a staff forecaster and meteorologist in charge. According to Tom Fahey, the legislative director of the National Services Employees Organization, the union that represents weather workers, the weather services nearby in San Antonio, which covers other areas hit by the flood, also had significant vacancies, including a warning coordination meteorologist and science officer missing. Why were they missing? They took early retirement. That office coordination meteorologist left on April 30th after taking the early retirement package the Trump administration used to reduce the number of federal employees, according to a person with knowledge of his departure. At both offices, the vacancy rate is roughly double what it was when Trump returned to the White House in January. John Sukich, who until January was director of congressional affairs and the weather server for the National Weather Service, said those unfilled positions made it harder to coordinate with local officials because each weather service office works as a team. Reduced staffing puts that in jeopardy, he said. Let's stop there. Competence matter. When you don't have floods, when you don't have hurricanes, etc., the most incompetent leader can look like a genius when they're saving tax dollars not spent. But the reason we invest in sometimes tax dollars that don't get spent is because of events like this. What is a life worth? What is the life of 28 beautiful children worth? What is the life of a teacher here in my town in Kingwood, Texas? We lost a teacher, a shop teacher at Kingwood Parks High School. His wife and his daughter, they were camping out in that area. We lost it. It affects all over because it's a popular spot. I've gone to done tubing in the Guadalupe River. Could happen to anybody. You expect your government to work for you. Of course, I don't expect my Texas government to work for me because I know how inept it is. I know that they are one of the most corrupt and inept governments in this entire country. State government, one of the most inept in the country. Our wealth in oil, our wealth in natural resources makes us look a lot smarter than we really are, just because our wealth can cover so much. But still, we have thousands of people in Texas that die every single year with no health care. So it matters, people. It matters that we have ineptitude as the leaders of the state, and we have ineptitude as leaders of the country. Now, I want to expand this to something else, because as I saw what happened in Central Texas, all I could say is this is a dry run, and our dry run, by the time it's all over, would have killed over 100 people, if not closer to 200, when it's all over, because we don't know the death toll yet. All the RVs that lined that area, there is one particular spot where 29 RVs were washed away. 29 RVs were washed away. And most of those people in those RVs likely died. But we have a bigger problem coming. We have a much bigger problem coming. We have the Weather Service that has been decimated by Donald Trump's Doge, Elon Musk, Donald Trump. These things, people look at these things abstractly as if they think it's not going to affect them. But Texas is a bullseye, and it has already started in Central Texas with the floods. But let me tell you the bigger picture, folks. Houston, where I'm at, is the energy capital of the United States, if not the world. We have centralized all pipelines coming into the Houston area. Our I-10 along the Gulf Coast is lined with the major refineries of this country. Refinery after refinery after refinery through the ship channel. The ship channel opens up directly into the Gulf. And currently we have a weather service that is going to be unable to do the predictions that they did previous to Donald Trump, because they have got rid of so many scientists and others in our weather service. But the ship channel has never, ever taken a direct hit. Texas has not taken into account that having all these refineries where they have them in Texas, because of a lousy Texas have its own type of EPA, have not made any real mitigation for a direct hit of a Cat 4
hurricane. So this is a dry run that we're seeing here. When that next Cat 4 hurricane comes here, so far they have wobbled a little bit to the left or wobbled a little bit to the right to save the ship channel. But when that hurricane that neither Texas nor the Trump administration is preparing for comes into that ship channel, this is not going to be a Houston event. This is not going to be a Texas event. This is going to be a national event. Because pipelines that are going all over the United States of America, many of them have their genesis right here in Houston from all these refineries sending products all over the country. When you talk about the potential for catastrophe in the making with a president that just passed a bill that has decimated the Weather Service, that has decimated FEMA, that has decimated all the institutions that would take care of people by passing all those funds that should be done and gone into our services onto a few rich folk, there's not a lot of good that is left to happen, folks. We were warned. We were warned. And now I'm warning again. And many have been warning and warning. We are in dire straits. The sun may be out here in Kingwood right now. Looks beautiful. But when something appears, you know, as I spoke to my wife a few earlier this when summer was starting, I said, this for me is the scariest time I've ever felt living here in Houston. And I'm about 50 miles from the coast because, as it turns out, with a president that can't even solve the problem in North Carolina, that cannot solve all those the floods that occur in North Carolina and now in Central Texas. What happens when the first real hurricane hits? We have a president that is happy to build a concentration camp in Alligator Alley, right? Now think about this, people. Built on flat land with tents, portable type tents to put vulnerable, quote unquote, undocumented immigrants. All we have to do is wait for a tropical storm hurricane to come over there and create havoc. When I talk about irresponsible government, when I talk about a sick government, when I speak about a government that had never had the interests of the average American citizen at hand, this is what I'm talking about. Folks, that is why I do what I do here. That is why I hope we continue to do what we need to do to make people understand that this is not a joke. This is not an ideological exercise. This is reality. And over 100, it's currently counted as 78, but 41 people are missing. By the time this is all over, over 100 of our Texas brothers and sisters will be dead. And they will be dead at the hands of DOGE. They'll be dead at the hand of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. They'll be dead at the hands of of Greg Abbott and his corrupt government. They'll be dead at the hand of Dan Patrick, and they'll be dead at the hand of a whole lot of officials who refuse to do the job as they should. And I mean that to the core. I mean that to the core. And for those who are talking, it's too early, that is insensitive. No, it's insensitive to get people killed. It is insensitive to put your head in the sand. It is insensitive to deny climate change. It is insensitive to do all these things, to cut funds, to save people's lives, to throw it into the hands of a whole bunch of millionaires. A lot of people are going to die, sacrificed, to put more money into the hands of the few. This is just the start. This is just the beginning. FEMA has been decimated. Let's see what happens when the next real major storm. You heard the director of FEMA recently said, my goal is to have FEMA die. Texas is asking for declared status now, emergency declaration. But this same Texas is the one now that, you know, according to DOGE and Trump, we don't want FEMA to be taking care of disasters like this. They need to be handled locally. That's another way of saying, you know, we don't want to collect taxes
for the benefit of us all as an insurance policy for us all. We do the same thing with guns, right? Every time a school gets shot up all around the country, especially in red districts, we come back and we say, may God bless you. Or my thoughts and prayers are with you. It is time to stop thinking about thoughts and prayers and start taking responsibility for making the changes needed to solve our problems. Welcome aboard, Joe from Los Angeles, California, Lisa Blair from Atlanta, Georgia, Lita Bearcat from Austin, Texas. You guys are getting a lot of rain. Margaret Ryan from Chatteroy, Washington, Lee, let's see, Richard Brown. From the state of Louisiana, para ver, Eric Hayes from Kingwood, Atascocita, and on Substack, thank you guys for being here. John A. Davis, Uju, M, Justil Robinson, Cynthia Hayes, Kate Carson, Suja Cumson, Beatrice, and too many to call out right now, but let's go ahead and get to John on line number one.
Yeah, you know, we must be on the same wavelength, because I think that, you know, we have what they call an enlightenment. And it was, the reason was because having a religious theocracy or autocracy or kingdom just didn't meet the needs of people, and people started to exercise more their frontal lobe and not look for answers about the material world, you know, from the scripture. And I'm a very religious person, but I'm not anti-science. You know, why, I mean, this is, when I hear some of the rhetoric of these Republicans, hope and prayers, it's like they're going back several centuries. And, you know, modern societies cannot work, and all the things that are provided for us, like, you know, disease, like trying to eliminate disease or predict weather events. Global warming has been known since 1905. Fonte Arrhenius discovered using science that we were adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. And of course, you know, it wasn't until much later that we realized that this is causing a change, a dramatic change in our weather. So then on the, you know, politicians and administrators should look at that science, because it's an accepted fact throughout the world that global warming is a real thing. It affects the weather. It causes very big fluctuations in weather, floods and droughts, fires and things like that. And these things we can deal with if we get off of burning fossil fuels. It's not a good idea. We're heating up our atmosphere. Early this spring, we had temperatures in the 90s and dew points down in 20%. It's just unheard of. I've lived here in Minnesota for 32 years. I've never seen anything like that. And what happens with people is, they just are overcome with all of these different things, and they think that we can't work our way out of these situations. But yes, we can. And by the way, Svante Arrhenius is a ancestor of Greta Thunberg. So I don't know if she, you know, is honoring her great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather. We learn from decade to decade, from century to century, we're building on the knowledge of people. Why go back and make religion, just ridiculous? It's just ridiculous to say, oh, thoughts and prayers, and things like this. And it just keeps happening. And it's translated, that bad kind of religion is translated into policy, which is not policy. It's so ideologically driven in Washington, D.C., but in the local politics, which I'm involved with, you know, you have to answer these issues. You have to do something about flooding and, you know, high, you know, really bad temperatures, you know, hot or cold or whatever it is that, you know, you try to as much use your own mind. God gave us a mind to use.
Yeah, John, let me interrupt a second. I need to interrupt a second to point out that all the policies passed in this last bill do exactly the opposite of much of what you said, because the new policies passed in the new budget goes ahead and redouble our efforts to burn more fossil fuel and makes it more expensive to build green solutions that would reduce. And so, I mean, we have actually made a concerted effort for, you know, again, the oil industry did a good job in paying off their politicians for what's not good for all of us. And again, for them, it's working, right? Their competitor in much better energy gets ignored. But it goes a little bit further than that. I mean, you mentioned about religion. Religion, just like racism, is a tool used to enrich the few in a capitalist society. Religion is also a tool used for those that are very religious, whose mind are susceptible to, well, to concepts like, prayers and thoughts and prayers and that sort of stuff. It is a concerted effort to harm. All of this is in the Powell memo. It's all implied in the Powell memo of how to make people, how to control people. But I got to go to the other person. John, give me a quick closer.
Oh, well, yeah, that fatalism that, oh, well, you know, this is just the way it is. It might seem kind of comforting, but it's wrong. It's morally wrong. If we know that something is hurting us and hurting other people, we should ban it. We have.
Absolutely. We got to go, John, but you're absolutely right, my dear brother. You're absolutely right. Let's go to, thank you, brother. Let's go to Brother Bruce. Come on in, Bruce.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. We got you.
Yeah, first off, my problems are nothing compared to others right now. But let me tell you why I'm in an ornery mood. Over the weekend, my AC went out, and the person I would pay to fix it is out of town for the weekend. So I woke up after 3 hours of broken sleep in a pool of sweat. So I'm ornery this morning. I got 2 points to make. First, I'm watching TV over the weekend. I'm seeing a line of Palestinians going to the horizon. They're trying to get to a food station to get a bite to eat for themselves or their kids. 600 of them, over 600 of them have been shot and killed trying to get a bite to eat. Second, we all know about the kids in Africa and the peanut paste that's about to start rotting. So to lighten my mood, I changed the channel to ESPN looking for a ball game. And they got a son of a blankety blank eating contest hero cramming 33 hot dogs down his throat like a porn star on speed. Linda Lovelace got nothing on this guy. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Anyhow, my second point I want to make is a little bit lighter. Someone asked me, Bruce, you're always talking about Republicans lining up to drink Trump's Kool-Aid. What flavor is it? I thought, what? So I got thinking about that. Hey, here's a way to make a boatload of money. Investors out there, get a hold of me. When you see the people, when they're around Trump, where's their nose? What we're going to do is we're going to market a butt-flavored Kool-Aid and get rich. I'm going to get off the phone right now. I'm going to get off the phone right now before I start getting mean, because I'm not in a good mood. I'm hot and I'm sweaty and I had no sleep. You have a blessed day, and I really feel bad for the people in the Hill Country, and our governor is a complete, I won't say it. Anyway, I'm done.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Welcome aboard, Cheryl Elkins from Massachusetts. Thank you guys so kindly for being here. Suzette Jensen said, so many people do not understand the importance of government jobs. Government jobs are very important, but you know, the idea, look, let me tell you what they do, Suzette. The idea is to make government look evil, make government look bad, so that the private sector can scoop in here and say you need the private sector, which is better managed to solve this. The private sector is not, I repeat, the private sector is not better managed than the government. That's a PR campaign from the private sectors for eons. The truth of the matter is the sole purpose of, and look, I have nothing against the private sector. I have my own private company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to sit back down there and think that a company that is profit-based somehow cares more about you than a government job or worker who the entity that.
I'm going to end that there. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker, do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. And I'm going to wraps it up here on where we're at here on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Remember, stream us online 24/7 at weft.org. And of course, you can listen to us on our app, WEFT app, which can be found on the Google Play Store and the Apple Store app thing. yeah, that wraps it up here. I'm going to play another Linda Ronstadt song. I played Back in the USA for the opening, and I'm going to close out with tracks of My Tears. So this is and coming up next is after this Linda Ronstadt song is Radio Theater. But please keep listening to us here on WFT.